hear that up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yes, E Tiwi, this is me and all my homies love native manu. This week we are talking about the kiwi puku puku. And here to talk with me, as always, about our special native birds, it's Pete Tonda. Welcome to the studio, Pete.
Oh, morena, Liv. Good to be here on this autumnal day.
It is very autumnal today. I do love autumn, though.
I love it, but then I know winter's coming. So it tempers my excitement a lot.
Okay. Well, we won't get into that right now, but another time. This week we are talking about the kiwi puku puku, the little spotted kiwi, also called the little grey kiwi. Mm-hmm. Can you please give us the classification of this manu, Pete?
Yeah, endemic, only found here. They're threatened, but nationally increasing due to a hell of a lot of conservation efforts going on.
Massive.
And you know, kiwi's our national symbol, identity. But we haven't looked after them particularly well, except in recent times.
Yes,
we're doing a lot better. So five kiwi species in Aotearoa, but we're just looking at the kiwi puku puku, or the little spotted kiwi, which is the smallest of the kiwi.
Yes, and it's about, we'll get into the size of it soon. But yes, it's an ancient bird species, along with the moa.
Yeah, so the ancestors go right back to Gondwana land, supercontinent, 50-odd million years ago.
I reckon Gondwana land would have been an awesome place.
It would have been, wouldn't it? Big, big party place. Everyone's there. The North Island population sort of went extinct late 1800s. South Island kiwi puku puku almost went extinct as well, due to overhunting particularly when the mammalian predators came in.
Yeah.
You know, ground-based birds can't fly. But five birds were taken to Kapiti Island in 1912, and now there's about 1,200 of them on Kapiti.
Wow.
With others translocated to other predator-free islands and sanctuaries. However, an incredible discovery last year. So these kiwis were thought to be extinct on the New Zealand mainland for the last 50 years. It's a bit like the Takahe.
Yeah.
But in July last year, a hunter found one on the west coast in the Adams Wilderness area. And there'd been a really small population hiding there for 50 years.
That's incredible. That's cool, eh? Hide and seek champion.
Competing with the Takahe.
Wow, that's incredible. I remember reading about that and being like so excited. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and so the total population is around 2,100 at the moment and growing.
That's
which
amazing.
Is awesome.
That's like the size of Temuka, my hometown.
Oh, right.
But yes, a very significant manu to tangata whenua, as all of our native taonga species are. Specifically valued for food.
Yeah, they'd be good food.
Oh yeah, I hate to say it, but they would be.
Yeah.
And feathers, I can't say feathers. The feathers were used for kahukiwi cloaks. What is a kahukiwi cloak, Pete?
Well, they're made of the white and brown kiwi feathers, and they're woven into bold sort of alternating stripes down the length of the cloak. Have a look online for kahu kiwi cloaks. They're just amazing. Amazing taonga and very much a symbol of mana and authority.
Oh, aye, definitely. And although attempts were made to restrict the harvest of the feathers or of the birds?
No, of the birds.
Yes.
Yeah, by the time the Europeans arrived, the kiwi puku puku was already in deep trouble. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's coming back, making a comeback. Some whakatauki about the kiwi. We've got Te Manahuna a Tāne. Ooh, what does that talk to, Pete?
The hidden bird of Tāne. And it's a saying about the kiwi, and it sort of references them living in a burrow and being nocturnal, feeding at night, so they're not often seen.
No, I've never seen a kiwi in the Ngahere at all, only like in captivity. Have you seen, oh, I mean, yeah, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it.
And then another whakatauki, which is quite a common one, ahakoahiti he pounamu. Ooh, tell us about that, Pete. Yeah,
although it is small, it is a treasure.
Aye.
And that often references the kiwi pukupuku and relates to things that are of great value that can come in small packages.
That's just beautiful, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
And you want to tease something for us now.
Yeah,
you've got a wee teaser.
There's an awesome legend about how the kiwi came to live on the ground, but we've got a few other kiwi species to cover, so we'll leave that kōrero for another time.
Oh my God, build ups! but next question I wanted to ask: what does the kiwi taste like?
Yeah, I don't know personally, but
they were
highly valued food for Māori. And they would have known how to cook them really well.
Hard out.
I found some varied reports on their taste. One said it was like tender beef. But one explorer, Charlie Douglas, described it as a piece of pork boiled in an old coffin.
Oh, shut up, and Charlie.
I just reckon Charlie was a shite cook.
Yeah, I reckon so as well. Text in, guys, if you think Charlie was a shite cook. But yes, how would you, we've talked about how they're ground-dwelling species, yep. How would you describe this manu, Pete, and what are they eating?
Yeah, smallest kiwi species, about 35 to 45 centimetres long, weighing between 0.9 and 1.95 kilograms, with, you know, females being heavier than the males.
Aye.
And they can live more than 20 years,
That's quite a pretty good lifespan.
Poor eyesight, but a very keen sense of smell.
I asked you before why they had poor eyesight, and
I think it's because they hang about at night.
Yeah.
And it's dark, and they've developed their sense of smell more as a way of finding and identifying food rather than relying on eyesight, because everything's kind of dark.
It's really cool. But yeah, the kiwi feathers, very unique in their structure.
Yeah, so evolving as a flightless bird, the feathers kind of have evolved to keep them warm and they're good camouflage.
Yeah.
But they don't have interlocking barbs on them and they look more like fur. And most flying birds, I found this interesting, they've got interlocking feathers with a hook-type system that locks the feathers together for flight.
Wow.
What an amazing evolution.
So, oh my God, that's actually blown my brain open this morning.
So we'll explore that a bit more with another flying manu. Because
oh my God, there's
just,
so always so much cool to talk about. This is so exciting.
Oh, there is.
But yes, the coats of the manu, speckled brown and white, blends in with the surrounding ngahere, which it inhabits. And you've got it said it's got a special smell.
Strong, musky and earthy smell, which I have smelt. I think it would make a great kiwi cologne if they could capture that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, blokes walking around, I'm the real kiwi man.
Oh, God.
Smell how musky I am.
I just don't like that.
No, you don't.
I think you've put quite a masculine vibe onto it.
I probably have. Sorry about that. Sorry.
But yes, a long bill.
Long bills.
Used for finding food.
Yeah. Rooting around in leaves and soil, and they sort of walk slowly along, tapping the ground to find the food.
With their beak. Yeah.
Maybe they sense movement with it. I'm not sure how that works, but anyway, they eat small insects. Earthworms are favourites.
Yum.
Beetles and beetle larvae.
Double
cicadas,
yum.
Flies, moths, spiders, and a bit of fallen fruit and leaves for dessert.
Cool. So a lot of invertebrates.
Yeah,
and
mostly,
some fruit and some leaves. Amazing.
Yeah.
And they've got a very, well, they like to rumbucks with each other. They like
do.
To fight with each other.
And it's called conspecific fighting.
Conspecific.
Which is basically,
What does conspecific mean?
I look this up. It's a bit of a silly word, really, because it's just males in the same species like to fight each other.
So kind of like humans.
Yeah. But it's so common. You know, you think of most animal species, the bloke's going to rear up with the testosterone and have a rumble.
Yeah.
But they've got really strong legs, sharp claws, so they do this sort of kung fu fighting and feathers fly everywhere.
It's amazing. Is it for territory?
Yeah.
Okay.
Territory, fighting for mates. You know, but most of it's territorial.
Okay.
But I think the females have the odd stoush as well.
I love to see it. And you've got a kōrero about a kiwi that you would like to share.
Yes. 2009, I released the kiwi pukupuku on Motuihe Island in the Hauraki Gulf. And I was part of DOC, and DOC regularly translocates tonga species to predator-free islands. And I'd been harassing the ops manager for some time to allow me to release a kiwi.
Yeah.
But I think he had a premonition. Anyway, we arrived early in the DOC boat with these five precious boxes of kiwi pukupuku, mana whenua, I think there's Naitaiki Tamaki. They turned up and did an awesome karakia and blessing. And then it was time to release. So Doc Ranger gave me my kiwi. The idea is that you hold it so that the gathered crowd can come and have a close look and a bit of a pat. That's when the fog of blind possession came upon me.
The fog of blind possession. Oh, what is this pain?
Well, I wasn't having a bar of sharing the manu. I covered its head with my left spare hand. I wrapped my arms around it. People could hardly see it, let alone pat it, and they started complaining they couldn't see the manu. And then at one stage, I even started to walk away from the crowd with my manu.
Your manu, eh?
And the DOC ranger had to come and wrestle the bird off me. In that moment, I knew what Gollum must have felt like. My precious little kiwi pugu pugu. It's mine, it's mine.
Exactly like that. Yeah. Did you get invited back?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look back at that. I was one of the local managers, and I didn't follow the tikanga or protocol.
No.
And I'm slightly embarrassed about that.
I think you should be.
It wasn't in my control. This thing just
came over
me.
Yeah. And you're saying when you smelt it, it was like your baby.
I know.
Yeah. And especially when you work so hard to save our tonga species as well, or work for our tonga species. I can imagine that experience would be very profound.
It's a one-off, though.
It's a one-off. Never again can Pete hold a kiwi.
But I'll hold it dear in my memory.
As for their breeding, Pete... Yeah. What does this look like?
They nest in short burrows, hollowed out logs or under dense vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
Eggs are laid between July and January, normally one to two large eggs. And the incubation...
They're quite a big egg.
They are a big egg. Yeah. Definitely. Incubation is only done by the male. Which sort of happens in
feminism.
Rat heights.
I love it.
Rat heights species, generally the male does the looking after the egg.
And the moor is a rat height as well. Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a huge kiwi conservation captive management and breeding program, mm-hmm. but we'll talk about that another time as well.
Yes, of course. So much conservation work going into these manu, which is awesome. And as for threats... We've talked about how everyone knows the kiwi's bloody flightless.
Yeah, sitting ducks for predation. Usual suspects, dogs, mustelids, cats, but dogs are a major threat. As this, the kiwi, as we talked about, has got a strong musky smell, and dogs have a sense of smell that's 10,000 times more sensitive than us, or even more than that. So dogs can just root them out with ease.
Yes.
And there's this terrible story in 1987, one dog killed 500 kiwi in the Waitangi State Forest over a six-week period before it was caught. And when I was growing up in Moirua, there was the couple of dogs killed 60 kiwi in one night in the Waitangi Forest. So,
and now there's this thing called kiwi aversion training, which is awesome. I know they're doing it down in Wellington for the Capital Kiwi Project. You can get your dog trained to avoid kiwi, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And also something I learnt from when I was looking into that project down there is kiwi get to like 1.2 kilos and then that's the weight they can fight off a stoat.
Yes, yes.
So they kind of monitor the kiwi really closely until they're that
weight. Rear them in captivity and get them big enough so they can sort of fight off stoats.
I love that.
Yeah, and the other threat though is the lack of genetic diversity.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to 5 manu being released on Kapiti. Just no gene variation.
No.
Those couple found in South Island might add a bit more.
Yeah.
But it's so low. Then they just have problems with health and longevity and more susceptible to disease. That's an ongoing battle.
Definitely. But one that lots of people are working on.
Doc's doing awesome work, Iwi's doing awesome work, and there's a key organisation, Save the Kiwi. They're sort of responsible for driving that program of growing kiwi numbers and creating safe habitats for them to thrive. So they're doing fantastic mahi out there.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, I love this kōrero today, Pete. And you've got a song to play for us.
Yes, classic Kiwi anthem, Nature by Formula. 1969. That was the original. Like Mutton Birds did a great version, but this is the original and it's fantastic.
Thanks, Pete.
Kia ora.
Matua.
Falling leaves, I pick my way slowly. Talking aloud eases my mind. Sunlight filters through, I feel my head is bursting. So full of thoughts.
Isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.